Annual BB&T Classic Triple Header, Sunday, December 5th at Verizon Center.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Larry speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now here's your host, Larry Allen.
I want to thank you for tuning in to Off the Shelf this morning. You may have heard us over the summer call for nominations for the Excellence in Partnership Awards. You have heard us talk about getting a seat or a table for the EIPs. Today is part one of a two-part show we're going to have on the awardees. I'll have awardees in the booth with me for each of the next couple of weeks, and we're going to be talking about not just how they got to where they are, but also a little bit about some of the other awardees for the Excellence in Partnership Awards held November 1st at the one and only McLean Hilton. Over 400 people attended GSA Industry. It was a great night. WFED's own Chris Dorabeck made an appearance and spoke, and as always, electrified the crowd. You can listen to Chris every afternoon right here on Federal News Radio. In the meantime, if you have a suggestion for us here at Off the Shelf, question for my guest today, or something for your humble host, by now you should know where to reach us. Our email address at the station is offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. That's offtheshelf@federalnewsradio.com. My guest today is Paul Weiss. Paul is Senior Director for LMI, a primary government contractor, a prominent government contractor at that. Paul has over 15 years of experience in industry and 25 in government, so he's a Solon of government acquisition policy, which is why the EIP judges chose him to receive the Industry Lifetime Achievement Award, and he's here to talk today a little bit about that and also some of the other industry awards we gave out on the Excellence in Partnership Awards. Paul Weiss, welcome to Off the Shelf.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for having me. I guess I have to digest the meaning of Solon. I've never been referred to that as before. But by way of background, it might be helpful for people to know essentially what my experience with LMI. I started as a consultant about, as Larry said, about 15 years ago, and then converted to a full-time employee about 10 years ago. And during that time, I experienced the organization converting from the status of a federally funded research and development corporation, which really is an instrumentality of government in a sense. It was created 47 years ago by then Secretary McNamara to help him in terms of getting an outside view that wasn't totally private sector, yet not also represented government perspectives on the Vietnam War and how best to handle the logistics and acquisition issues surrounding that. During that time, LMI was limited to the in terms of the amount of work it could do, primarily with the Defense Department. And in order for it to go outside the Defense Department required sponsorship, which became a little bit of an issue as time went on, because as LMI developed capabilities that were interest to civilian agencies, it became more of an issue of going through defense. And frankly, they felt that LMI probably should be devoting most of its time to the defense industry. And we reached an accommodation with them about 9 or 10 years ago that we would give up the FFRDC status, which was basically a non-competitive award of contracts, which made it very easy in that sense. But it also restricted the amount we could do, as I mentioned. Since that time, at the time that I joined LMI as a consultant, we were doing about $35 million a year in business. This year, we'll have $208 million in new funding, which is a significant growth over that period. We were noted as a top vendor for the last quarter in GSA's Consolidated Products and Services Schedule, all the time operating as a nonprofit organization. This is a reflection of the expansion of capabilities from our core of logistics and acquisitions to IT, human resources, and organizational management, financial management, infrastructure, and so on. essentially what you see in LMI in the way of capabilities reflects what you would see in a typical government organization chart. It was our goal to try and respond to the issues of management that government agencies faced. One of the key areas of our success, prior to converting to the nonprofit, non-FFRDC, we began moving to GSA schedules. That has been a key to our success. It represents anywhere from a half to three-quarters of our work through the schedules program. We are now on seven schedules that are consolidated, as I mentioned before, into a single contract with GSA. And if I point to anything in terms of how one transitions from the state we were in to the state where we are now, it was the GSA schedules program. During that time, I got myself involved with the coalition with Larry Allen, and I've enjoyed this association more than I can really tell you. It's been great. And I've watched the coalition grow in capabilities and influence as LMI has grown, and probably more so because of the reach of CGP's influence across the industry sector and with government. I see the coalition as a key player in the development of government procurement through its role as a convener of industry, those holding GSA schedules, as well as a spokesman for them before congressional and legislative branches. This is particularly important for an organization like LMI, where we may have vantage points we like to express, but we need basically the spokesman role of CGP to help us articulate those views, and they've been absolutely wonderful in doing so on behalf of LMI and the other agency participants. One of the roles of CGP, as I see, is anticipating major industry challenges such as those facing GSA and commercial organizations whenever the efficacy of the schedules program is called into attention or into question. They have been absolutely stellar in meeting that that challenge. Through its various committees and events, such as the spring and fall conferences, the CGP fills a critical communications and teaching role for industry. Its advocacy role is continuous and highly effective. Now, if this sounds like a sales pitch for CGP, I guess it is, because we've had such a positive experience with them.
Well, we appreciate that.
Anyway, Larry, that's kind of the background I wanted to provide to you.
Well, it's good background, Paul, and it's also indicative, talking about your leadership as part of the LMI team that transitioned the firm from an FFRDC to a GSA schedule holder, and as you pointed out, now a very notable and active GSA schedule contract holder. It talks about the change in the environment itself, some of the things that we have seen happen. LMI could maybe be called a microcosm of the change that took place in the broader arena. A lot of innovations, and something that you, frankly, were rightly recognized for your Lifetime Achievement Award. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about your government service and some of the things that you've seen now from the luxury of both sides of the table. What are the things that are shaping today's procurement landscape? My guest this half hour on Off the Shelf is Paul Weiss. He's a senior director with LMI and this year's EIP award winner for Lifetime Achievement from Industry. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Every government agency has a distinct mission, yet they all share a common vision: to better serve the American people. And it's been the determination of every federal employee that's made this vision a reality and our country what it is today. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to have helped government clients meet their missions and prouder still to continue providing support. Today, Booz Allen's 20,000 dedicated professionals have the expertise, the experience, and the solutions to help you continue adapting to ever-changing public service pressures while achieving your goals. So whether you're responding to today's demands or looking beyond the horizon, count on Booz Allen to help you be ready for what's next. Booz Allen Hamilton, delivering results.
And we're back
endure.
Here on Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your most humble host on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where we bring you the unimaginably loyal listener in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We've got a great show this week. It's part one of a two-part discussion we're having about the Excellence in Partnership Awards, the EIPs. Those are the awards, in case you haven't heard what we've been talking about them here on Off the Shelf for the past few months, that recognize the individuals and organizations that make GSA's procurement programs the success they are, whether it's a GSA schedule, a GWAC, and even this year we added a Public Building Service Award to the Excellence in Partnership Awards. It was a great evening. About 400 people turned out to honor the individuals and organizations that comprise this year's award winners. One of them is here with me in the studio today. He is Paul Weiss. Paul is a senior director with the firm of LMI and this year's EIP Lifetime Achievement Award winner from industry. Paul, as we went into that first break, I promised our listeners a little bit of a discussion from you on your unique perspective, having spent 25 years in government and now 15 years in industry. You must have seen some things that are the same but also different depending on the perspective you're looking at from a given point in time. What's going on right now from the two sides that you have experience with that is shaping our procurement landscape?
Well, Larry, I've been very fortunate in that I've actually had two careers in my life, both of which I view equally in terms of my satisfaction with them and the many challenges that I experienced in both. I served in career capacities in five different agencies in government, four of which were in management roles. It really was the goal of the senior executive service to have managers move from agency to agency, and I was able and very fortunate to be able to accomplish that. I served in Justice, Treasury, GSA, the Action Agency, which is now the Corporation for National Service, and the Department of Transportation. Some of the different perspectives I draw from those experiences, I'll address the government first. Obviously, and this is clear to everybody, the bottom line for government is not profit. It's delivery of services primarily. Some cases it may be products in the hardware sense for component organizations. Another difference is the influence of politics on mission, and we certainly are sensing that now with the upcoming elections and the impact that may have on various federal agencies. There's also the inconsistency and unpredictability of funding and the lack of control over budget. There, you not only have the external, I'd call the external influences, such as the public bearing their influence through Congress, but you also have the internal influences as the agencies go through internal budget reviews and then on up to OMB and then to the Congress to get approval of those budgets and appropriations for the coming year. Things change radically during that process, and the agency managers watch with great interest as these things move through the process, not knowing really what's going to come out at the end. There's also the difficulty in hiring and sizing the workforce to meet operational requirements. In the federal government, as many of you know, it's a very regulatory-laden process, both in the hiring and the movement of employees through the process in and out of government. And to go up and down in terms of staffing is a very difficult, time-consuming, and it can be a wasteful enterprise.
So these are things that we've seen over years, but it's interesting to see that none of these issues, Paul, really ever go away. They just kind of come back if you stick around long enough, maybe in a slightly different cloak, but they're very recognizable, and they pose unique management challenges at the given time they crop up, right? I mean, one of the things I find is that technology itself, for example, just doesn't solve a shortage of people.
Right, exactly. Exactly, it does not. And you see it now with John Berry, the head of OPM, attempting to shrink the time it takes to hire employees. Well, you may have a lot of technology you can bring to bear, but you have to have people running those systems, procuring those systems, and putting them into place. And you need experienced and knowledgeable people, and that's really the challenge of government these days. And then lastly, there's just the decision layers to get something done in government. It's not like the private sector that I've grown accustomed to, where you can get decisions in a matter of hours. You know, it's just it's a very different situation. Some of the similarities are, and it's really something that's really been played about in the last few years, is a commitment to public service. Sometimes we find the private sector companies question in their commitment to public service, or their commitment is more to the bottom line. I found that not to be the case, at least in my experience, that there's as much commitment to delivery of service to our government and the private sector as there is in the public sector, and I believe they're very, very high levels. Delivery on commitments, making sure that we meet what we commit to do, either contractually or even verbally in some cases, where we've offered to help and seek to help the government meet its objectives. There's also the challenge of shifting priorities because we, as supporters of the government missions, react to their changes, and therefore with those changes come down to us, and we have to be reactive and be able to accomplish the objectives in spite of those priority shifts. Talented and dedicated people, I find them in both organizations in equal amounts. So I don't think there's any question that we have a very talented and dedicated workforce in both spheres. And teamwork to accomplish goals, I see, is a very much a common theme in both the public and private sectors.
And these are really some of the themes, just listening to you talk, Paul, about on which the EIPs were founded. And we're talking about the Excellence in Partnership Awards this half hour on Off the Shelf, recently given out to 16 individuals and organizations that made the procurement programs of the General Services Administration a success over the past year. We do find industry and GSA coming together to solve the problems and serve the problems of the common federal customer. From your comments, it seems like this is part and parcel of an ideal situation. Certainly, you've got players who sometimes serve their own interests, but that's not necessarily unique to the side of the table you're sitting on. And really, the EIPs brought home the idea of partnership and common service. And I want to talk a little bit more about those. I specifically want to talk in our next segment about the environmental awards that we handed out. Yes, GSA has green contractors, and there were some impressive green contractors who are awarded, some not just for their recycling programs, but also for the major green impact they had in the communities in which they do business. Come back and hear a little bit more about that in our next segment of Off the Shelf as I continue my discussion today with Paul Weiss, Senior Director at LMI and this year's Industry Award winner for Lifetime Achievement at the EIPs. I'm Larry Allen, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
What do successful small, medium, and large federal contractors, including two-thirds of the top 100, have in common? Membership in the Coalition for Government Procurement. Successful federal contractors know they get the information edge they need on developing acquisition trends and an effective voice to protect their interests from coalition membership. For nearly 30 years, the Coalition's been the trusted voice of industry, working with federal officials to promote common-sense procurement. Know what the best know. Join the Coalition today to protect and grow your company's business. Contact the Coalition at 202-331-0975 or visit their website at thecgp.org. That's 202-331-0975 or thecgp.org. Don't be left wondering what will happen to your federal business. Contact the Coalition today.
And welcome back to Off the Shelf, where I am Larry Allen, your most humble host here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, where we bring you the undeniably, unquestionably, undeservingly loyal listeners in government and industry, the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. We're talking this half hour about the Excellence in Partnership Awards. The Excellence in Partnership Awards were recently given out to 16 individuals and organizations that make the procurement programs of the General Services Administration the best they can be. Awards were given out in three categories. They were given out in the category of industry, GSA individuals and organizations, and of course, most importantly, customer agencies and organizations. Join me here on Off the Shelf for our future show when Deputy Federal Acquisition Service John Jordan Deputy Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service, John Jordan, will be my guest here on Off the Shelf as we go over the award winners for the EIPs in GSA and government. Today, talking a little bit about the industry awards. My guest here to help me do that is Paul Weiss. Paul is a senior director with the firm of LMI. He has 40 years of experience in both government and industry in terms of government procurement, and he is also this year's Lifetime Achievement Award winner for industry. Paul, as I went into that last break, I teased the listeners a little bit about green procurement. In fact, the EIPs have always had a green contractor award, and it's usually, if not the most, one of the most competitive awards in the entire program, and so it was again this year. We talked about green contractors, and we split the award this year because there are companies that had made contributions, significant contributions to their communities. One had set up a lake in front of its office and had reclaimed wetlands and then grew a wetland environment around it and donated the land back to the community. Share your importance, Paul Weiss, on the views of importance of environmental firms working in the government. How do firms like yours work with companies that do environmentally sensitive work, especially small businesses?
Let me begin from a general perspective, Larry. Greening from a corporate perspective does have many opportunities and challenges. But one thing is certain. Companies are really starting to take this seriously. In this past year, there's been more voluntary reporting of carbon disclosure than ever before. In fact, according to the Carbon Disclosure Project, nearly 70% of the S&P 500 voluntarily reported corporate carbon emissions in 2010. When you think about this in the context of a weak global economy and an uncertain legislative environment, this is really amazing. So point number one is there's a great deal of interest around this issue, and a lot of this is being driven by the private sector, probably not where most people would suspect. Secondly, there's a great opportunity right now for companies to define what it means to be green. Within the next year, it's likely there will be forthcoming guidance to the private sector vendors who do business with the federal government on the need to report carbon emissions. This is part of Executive Order 13514, calling on federal agencies to establish an integrated strategy towards sustainability in the federal government and to make reduction of greenhouse gas emissions a priority for federal agencies. Among other initiatives, the executive order requires the agencies to set baselines and targets for scopes 1, 2, and 3 greenhouse gas as GHG emissions. Scope 3 emissions are emissions from indirect sources related to agency activities, including supply chain emissions. Section 13 of the executive order specifically directs the General Services Administration, in coordination with other key agencies, to assess the feasibility of working with the federal supplier community, comprised of vendors and contractors that serve federal agencies, to measure and reduce supply chain emissions. LMI was a major contributor in helping to draft this guidance, and it's going to have a huge impact on the way that private sector vendors do business with the government in the coming years. So vendors really need to be thinking about how they're going to respond and react to this, and they ought to be doing that right now. Finally, from a perspective about challenges, it's going to take time for companies to react to this. Some companies are more proactive than others, and it just depends a lot on the different things, including the philosophy of the senior leadership and how important they think it is. Change management and even things such as what systems you capture greenhouse gas information on. Historically, accounting and financial systems haven't been designed to capture greenhouse gas information, so most firms have a lot to learn to make progress in this area. At LMI, for example, we've done our greenhouse gas inventories and are in the process of designing our own carbon mitigation strategies. We've been at it for a while, and we keep chipping away at it, but we're committed to doing it because, A, we think it's the right thing to do, and, B, it's a matter of time before it becomes a requirement.
Indeed, and I think that's a wise move. And, in fact, I'm kind of interested to hear the statistics you mentioned, Paul, about how much industry embraces green. In fact, the Coalition has a green committee that is one of the most active committees in the association, and the idea is to engage the government in discussions about going green in a sensible way. But you're right, industry has led a lot of these discussions, much to my surprise. It was originally formed, the Green Committee, to maybe prevent the government from implementing government-only rules. So far, that hasn't happened. It's been a very good discussion. In fact, we recently had our fall conference, and the second day was dedicated to green procurement. Fascinating perspectives from government and industry about what green procurement means. If you missed it, you can find some of the highlights on the Coalition's website, thecgp.org, or call 202-331-0975, and they'll ship you what they can. Paul Weiss, my guest today. Before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about recommendations you would make as somebody who has spent 40 years in government procurement, both from the industry and government perspective. As I mentioned at the top of the show, a veritable Solon of information on government acquisition. If you could make one recommendation, Paul, to the next generation of government procurement leaders, what would it be?
In a sentence, I would say, Larry, to meet your organization's objectives, with a fairness to all parties in a speedy and effective manner. One of the major criticisms is the time it takes to work through the procurement process, and there are many factors. There's the overlay of very complex regulations, shortage of experienced, knowledgeable acquisition professionals, the quality of some proposals that are received, and the ease that of challenges to awards. All these contribute to a system that really is bound up in itself right now. And if I had anything to say, I would just say keep the faith. We need to get our folks trained and in place on the government side and work together cooperatively with their industry counterparts.
So plenty of work yet to be done. But the idea, I think, Paul, is to balance out, if you can, the competing requirements between speed and ensuring the government gets a good deal, but also some of the other things that we've been talking about here on Off the Shelf, small business use, green procurement. But I like your comment at the end, Paul Weiss. Keep the faith, because really, regardless of whether you're an industry or government, if you're committed to the procurement system, you have to be committed to making it work, and that's all about the effective conduct of the business of government. Paul Weiss, my guest today here on Off the Shelf. I want to thank you for coming on. And again, I want to congratulate you on being this year's Lifetime Achievement Award winner for the Excellence in Partnership Awards Industry category. I want to thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in every Tuesday here to hear us right here on Federal News Radio. Join us again next week, where we bring you the very latest developments in the world of commercial solutions procurement. Off the Shelf is here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Larry Allen of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now. Looking for usable news and information that helps you do your job? Tune into In-Depth with Francis Rose every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Francis explores the relationship between agencies and Congress by taking you to the hearing rooms on Capitol Hill and asking questions of federal decision makers and experts. You'll get a first-hand look at how Congress affects your agency's personnel, funding, and oversight. In-Depth also looks at the relationship between agencies and contractors, companies that do billions of dollars of business with the federal government, talk about the work they're doing for agencies, the work they're bidding on, and the work they didn't get. And In-Depth will help you be a better manager. Francis talks to authors, scholars, and managerial experts about managing projects, managing your workforce, and managing yourself. In-Depth with Francis Rose, every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.